When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Happy Friday, y'all. That's where we are now. Wow. I can't believe this week is almost over. It feels like Tuesday still.
I don't know why. I think it feels like a fast week to me, and I think because I was expecting it to feel really slow and awful after the holidays.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was great.
This is my first full week in a while.
I know.
And it feels like it lasted 2 days. Hancock and Kelly with us for the first hour of the show. It's Chris and Amy, and we are here until 12 o'clock. Then the Gas House Gang, 314-436-7900. To call and text, Odyssey app, you can listen live and send us voice messages there. We're also streaming live. You can see John and Michael and Amy on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. We are at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
A press conference is expected today, and investigations are beginning in the ICE shooting that occurred in Minneapolis just a couple of days ago.
And Senator Josh Hawley explains his yes vote on the War Powers Resolution, and President Donald Trump is not happy with the Missouri senator.
And in college football, Miami advances to the national championship game. They are going to play the winner of Indiana-Oregon tonight. That's a big one. A lot of Indiana folks in St. Louis, including our very own Tom Ackerman, who I'm sure is on pins and needles today, Amy.
I would think so.
Is he there?
I don't think so.
No, my understanding is he'll be ready to go for the title game if they make it there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already put in for the day off.
So Miami's going to be a home team for the title game.
I know, first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
So last night during the game when it was uncertain as to who was going to win, I thought, I wonder what the get-in price to, Hollywood Stadium is for the... It wound up, as the game went on, it started at $2,000 for a ticket to go see a game. And by the end of the game, when Miami had won, it was up over $3,500.
Oh.
So
wow.
All the Miami people are just going to blitz down there, and it's there.
He's going to have to sneak in, probably.
Well, didn't he do that? No, Alex Rich did.
Yeah, who works here at our company. He was able to... He didn't sneak in. He thought he was buying tickets from a scalper outside the stadium, but what he purchased was somebody with the opportunity to sneak him in. So he followed the ticket scalper, thinking he was going to get tickets, but the ticket scalper just sneaked him into the stadium.
Basically found a guy who pulled the act like you belong there move.
Yeah.
He had a lanyard on with nothing on the lanyard, and he sort of tucked it into his shirt so you couldn't tell, and then they just walked right up to security, and he's like, these guys are with me, and brought Alex and his friend in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stood there.
Multiple people.
And then tried to get him to Venmo him money. And they were trying, and it wasn't going through. And they're like, dude, I don't know what you want us to do, but we're not going to stand here for another hour trying to figure this out. And they just took off mad and apparently had done it to at least a few other people in the stadium.
So did they stay for the game?
They stayed for the game.
But you had to have a wristband to prove that your ticket was scanned. So Alex said, I just walked up to the lady and said, hey, we didn't get wristbands.
Hey, man.
They gave him wristbands. Wow. It's all about act like you belong
it's
there.
So
it's
true.
It's how they, you know, robbed the Louvre, because there was this meme. This was before the Louvre robbery. Maybe they got the idea from it, where these two guys did TikTok or Instagram videos, and their whole theory was, if you have two guys in a ladder, you can get into anywhere. Anybody will let you in as long as you are two guys with a ladder. And they would show up at movie theaters, and they would show up at sporting events, two guys in a ladder, and they'd walk right through. And that's basically what they did at the Louvre.
Wow.
Wow.
We should try that at a sporting event.
Have y'all ever snuck into anything? I snuck in with my brother-in-law, Paul, who may be listening right now, to what was the first of the historic Mark McGwire home runs. Was it 60? Or 61?
Well, 60.
60 was a big one.
That was the one we snuck into. Yeah. We were supposed to have tickets. It didn't work out, and we got in with like a big group of people, kind of sounded like Alex did.
Really?
Yeah.
Into Busch Stadium,
the old Busch Stadium.
Yeah, right.
And it was down on the bottom level there under the walkway that came from the parking garage where Mr. Busch's statue was. And we just kind of were in with a big group and got in. And I don't know if you guys remember, but that people would flood the aisles when Mark McGwire would come up to bat, and then they'd go back to the concourse. And
yes.
It had to have been full of a bunch of people like myself, because it didn't seem like there were any empty seats.
You know, I have never been able to sneak in anywhere because I look so guilty. I have the opposite vibe. I give off the opposite vibe of act like you belong there. I always look like I don't belong there, even when I do. Like if I have a ticket, a VIP pass, whatever it may be, I always look sus. I look like I don't belong there.
I don't think that's true. I think you just think that.
I don't know.
I think you have that anxiety that
but
somebody's
I think it
always
wants. Yeah. Like I'm the type of person, my good friend Noah, she walks into a place, doesn't matter where it is. People give her the best seat. They give her free coffee. She's a magnet. People love her. I walk in and I feel like they charge me extra for the coffee.
Hmm.
Like I think I'm off-putting. I don't mean to be. I don't want to be. I think you are born with it or you're not. I'm born with being off-putting. But I say all this because I've never sneaked into any place.
You have a grouchy look on your face.
I do.
I think pudding is overrated.
Pudding is a...
No, it's not.
Have you had chocolate pudding though?
Yeah, I have.
It's pretty good.
I'm not a fan. The texture of it.
Remember those pudding pops?
But I did sneak... I was already in a place. I had tickets to a concert. You know Ray LaMontagne?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was with a friend, and he helped me sneak kind of backstage. So basically, we were supposed to do a meet and greet, and Ray LaMontagne has notorious social anxiety, I guess. I learned this later. And so he canceled the meet and greet. My friend's like, this is ridiculous. So we just started going through doors at the Fox Theater, behind the theater, and he just walk with confidence. So we kept pushing behind doors, and we got outside of the Fox Theater, like the back entrance, right outside the green room. And there was Ray LaMontagne smoking a pipe. And so my friend, who's never met him, said, hey, Ray.
Of course he was.
Hey, Ray, I wanted to introduce you to my friend Amy. My friend acted like he knew Ray LaMontagne. Hey, Ray, I wanted to introduce you to my friend Amy. And Ray's like, okay, looking at my friend like, wait, what? And so then he introduced.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then Ray felt bad that he didn't know me. And so I got to meet Ray that way.
You sneak in at any place?
Me?
Yeah, you.
No, I never sneak into anything.
Are you
seriously?
Sure?
No.
Not even in your bad boy days?
No.
You didn't sneak in to meet Margaret Thatcher? Or
I didn't sneak into that.
Margaret Thatcher?
Like, weren't you with the College Republicans then?
This is a great story. Do I have time for this
you
story?
You have all the time.
We have got nothing
so,
but time.
I'm the director of the Republican Party at the time, and the guy that's the head of the College Republicans. He says, I've got an event with Margaret Thatcher. She's coming to town. I said, Margaret Thatcher? He said, yeah, she's going to be at such and so. And he said, you know, what's the fundraiser? He said, but, you know, would you like to come? And I said, yeah, I mean, you know. So this thing's going on, and we're getting closer to the event. And I learned that she's coming to speak to St. Louis University, and she has no idea whatsoever that the College Republicans are using her for a political fundraiser.
Oh, yes.
And so, anyway, and he's got all of these donors. I mean, you know, very wealthy people, and we're all they put us in a circle, and I guess they told her that these were dignitaries, you know. So she comes in and walks around the circle, and there's a photographer taking a picture, you know, every place she goes. And then they take her somewhere for a cup of coffee that they sold for $50,000 to somebody. I mean, it was unbelievable, and they got away with it, which was crazy. The worst part of the whole deal was she's doing the circle, and she comes around, and I shake hands with Lady Thatcher, there she is, you know. Click. So, month later, I get the photograph in the mail, and it's me in the back of Margaret Thatcher's head. And she looks like my Aunt Vanita in this picture. And
so you can't prove it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that was my Margaret Thatcher.
Did you
experience.
Put the thing up on the wall?
No.
But you said they were a little peeved.
I don't know that they ever knew it was actually a fundraiser.
Do you still have the photo?
No, I don't think so.
I think it'd be very funny to have it up. Yeah. In your house or office. Like, Margaret who is that? Like, that's Margaret Thatcher. Yeah. I swear to God. That'd be really funny.
Come on, Chris. I can't be the only one who snuck into things here. Amy did it. You
first of all,
sneak into something?
I'm sure I have, but it's funny that you bring this up because we were going to play a little bit of audio later of Greg Warren, the St. Louis and Greg Warren talk. He's on the Nateland podcast with Nate Bargatze.
Yeah, he's a comedian, this guy.
Yeah. He was talking about how his friends, when they were younger, they climbed over a wall and threw some brush to sneak into the St. Louis Zoo. And
the
he's
zoo?
Like, it's free.
He's like, they didn't know it was free. They were so proud. They're like, dude, we got into the zoo.
Like, yeah, it's free. Just walk in.
That's funny.
I love it.
That's really, really good. No, I mean, I'm a big rules person.
We know this.
Well, you don't have to say it quite so eagerly.
Well, I mean, this is a person who worries about people going to put you in jail for no reason.
Because what if I'm driving down the highway? I've got long hair. When you have long hair, you know, you leave hair everywhere. Like, hair falls off your head. So,
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Like, there's always hair in the bathroom. Like, it's long hair is... And I'm afraid that I'm going to drive down the highway, and a hair is going to fly out the window and land at a murder scene. And then my DNA will be at the murder scene.
See, that's worse than me. Wow. Okay.
Did you ever think people should think about that type of thing?
Like there's a lot of things you ought to be worried about, Amy, and that's probably not high on the list.
You think your hair is going to land in an outdoor murder scene?
Yes.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Why?
Because
it's your DNA, and those things.
Because if you're in a big an outdoor public space, like a road. There's probably DNA of all kinds of people out
there. Well, I don't know, but maybe it floats somewhere specific and it works its way through a crack. But my point is that...
Like the feather in Forrest Gump? You think it's going to find its way to
the
just perfect murder scene?
Yes, exactly. And I do think this is the whole guilty conscious looking like I don't belong. If someone said, you know, where were you last night at 11? I'd be like, oh my gosh, I don't know. They're like, because this person was murdered. And my first thought would be, oh my gosh, did I accidentally murder someone I don't remember? I would be so nervous because I'm very absent-minded. I don't know. I'm very guilty.
I get how females would be worried about the hair thing because I grew up with five sisters. And I'm telling you, I always thought these people had cancer every day because every morning when they get out of the shower.
Oh, yeah.
There's a clump of hair. It's like, how do you all even have hair on the top of your heads? And I'm sure we all are losing hair like that, but they're so small that you don't see them.
I still find hair from five girlfriends ago. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
It's just like, well, where did this come from still?
Right?
Matt, save that clip.
The most recent girl's not blonde. Who's a blonde that's been in here?
That's so bad. See, then you could have the thought, what if she finds the blonde hair and goes, who is this? Who is this that's been in your bathroom?
Exactly.
2012.
I'd say, you know hair travels.
You
that's
can't
what you
win
say.
That, though, because then it also looks like you haven't vacuumed in a while.
Talk about problems I've never had. Feeling better about myself.
Hancock and Kelly with us on this Friday. We're so glad that you're hanging out with us today. 314-436-7900 to join the show.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a Friday, so we've got John Hancock and Michael Kelly with us. We always want to hear from you at 314-436-7900. Bad news for my fear of being accused of murder. Hey, Amy, a texter says, your DNA is probably in every state DNA database where you've ever run.
Hmm.
I could be the most notorious suspect out there, and I don't know it.
Why would it be in a database in every state?
Well, that's the thing. That part I don't know, because they're not going through the park picking up hair.
No, they're not like going to the lodges that you stay at and swabbing them for your DNA and then putting it in a... No,
yeah, I don't think it's in the database. I think this texture is wrong, but I appreciate the sentiment.
I do think if you ever get arrested for a murder, some sort of violent crime, I think it'd be a great bit for the show.
It would be dedication.
Be great,
I'll drive the white Bronco if you need me to.
You can buy them now.
Yeah.
They have new ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Or you get a refurbished one, though. There's that place across the river in Illinois.
Betty, Missouri.
That has, yeah, that's here. We are that place.
this is riveting.
the car place.
Yeah, the car place.
Where they refurbish and they've got all these beautiful old Broncos. They're expensive. You could drop $250,000 on an old Bronco.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're gorgeous.
What, able to drive around like OJ did?
Well, aren't you committed to the bit?
Yes, but $250,000.
Whew. Chump change.
From Bronco?
John, what are you going to do for the bit?
I'm not going to be participant.
He's going to stand on the highway with the signs. Go, Amy, go. Go, Amy, go.
I could do the play-by-play.
You know, it's kind of a remarkable thing. If you think back to the OJ chase.
Yeah.
Okay. That there was enough time, people knew that he was being chased by the police, and there was enough time, this is how slow the chase was, there was enough time for people to go make signs and then go to the overpass and then stand there.
But aren't they going below the speed limit?
Yeah.
They were driving slow.
Yeah. And it was like 45 mile an hour. What was it? It was a basketball game going on, right? Wasn't there a basketball game?
Who was doing the play-by-play of the
I think it was Bob Costas.
I think it was Bob Costas.
Didn't AC call
Bob? Yeah, he called him.
Yeah.
Huh.
Al Cowlings.
Do you guys want to talk
about... Dead or alive?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Probably alive.
We'll look up the...
How old was he then?
You would think he'd be doing interviews and telling the truth.
Now, he was a baseball player, right?
Al Collins?
No, I think he was a football player in college with OJ.
All right.
He is still alive, and he is 78.
Nice.
Wow.
Anyway.
It'd be an interesting interview.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about Missouri Senator Josh Hawley?
Sure.
The president, not thrilled with him after Hawley joined one of five senators voting on war resolution powers. What do you make of it? One, I guess, what do you make of Trump's dissatisfaction with Josh Hawley and those other senators? And two, is this Congress slowly starting to do its job and claw its power back?
Oh, I think it's too premature to say that. But I do think Hawley is a pretty interesting figure. I mean, he's clearly marking out a lane for himself in the populist movement, and and he's not afraid to buck the president. And now part of that could be because he still has 4 years left before he has to face the voters again. But I have been impressed with Hawley. He has shown a commitment to his principles, and his principles are very much planted in the populist movement. He's always been a constitutionalist, and at the core, this was a vote on who has the power to commit U.S. troops onto foreign soil, and can a president do that arbitrarily? And I think the Constitution is pretty clear that he cannot. And so, I take my hat off to Josh Hawley here.
Well, he's definitely... up to this point, been able to disagree with Donald Trump on some stuff and never put himself into his sights. And as predictable as the president is, the second anybody's against him, he starts to trash him. I differ with John. I don't believe that Josh Hawley's principled. I don't know that he really believes anything. I think he puts his finger up in the air, finds out which direction the wind's going, and starts running that way. And you have to look no further than his past behavior, whether it's the I'm not going to run for higher office, and then 6 months later he announces he's running for higher office. If it's he opposed and led a charge against right to work, and now he's become one of the stronger proponents of labor rights. And I'm supportive of that, but I'm not naive enough to think that he really believes any of it. I think it's all opportunistic stuff for of a man who's running for president. And for those who are jumping up and down that he's such a decent dude that he's, I remind everybody, he was a part of the insurrection and was the first person to object and leading the insurrection. So I don't believe it. I think the guy's an opportunist.
Well, that vote yesterday was not an opportunistic vote. I mean, there's plenty of people, I would hazard to guess, in that Republican conference in the Senate who philosophically agreed with Josh Hawley's position but didn't have the guts to vote against the president. You know, that's... And, you know, so whatever you may think of him, that vote yesterday politically wasn't easy.
Well, let's talk about this then. There are, I would say, certain politicians in certain environments that may not be hurt by that. I don't know that Hawley could Donald Trump damage Hawley here in Missouri. I don't know that he could.
Well, you're talking about at that point, you're talking about 2030. So Donald Trump will be gone, presumably. And
so that's what he's calculating then, right?
Right. It could be. Yeah. Could very well be.
He's probably thinking, well, you can't do anything to me. Right. I'm in office, and what are you going to do?
Are they starting to act, though, meaning senators and maybe some House Republicans thinking that it will be a lame duck Donald Trump pretty soon?
I think he's running for president, and whether they want to admit it or not, the Obama care is popular. What's happening with the invasion of Venezuela is unpopular. It is contrary to where the majority of Americans are, and it's contrary to where MAGA is. And I think he sees an opportunity to get out and lead a parade that's where populism is, where the bulk of the people seem to be running, and he's always happy to get in front of that parade until it goes south, then he runs for the hills like he did on January 6th.
I have a little bit of dissonance on this because as politicians go, I almost don't care what the process is as long as the end result is good. And I mean that in this sense. If he's voting in favor of workers' rights, if he's voting in favor of health care, I don't care why he's doing it. I just care that it's being done because I know it's going to help people. The problem with that, here's the other end, is that if he's doing it because he's an opportunist, then what's the next opportunity where he ends up screwing people? You know, that's where my dissonance is on it.
Yeah, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here because that was not an easy vote to make yesterday. And you either do it because you're playing some four-dimensional political chess, or you do it because you believe in the principle that the Constitution is sacrosanct, and he believed that that resolution comported with the Constitution much more so than what the White House did in Venezuela.
But, I mean, there's some substantive people, John, inside the Republican Party who didn't make that same vote.
Correct.
Or have those same types of feelings.
Correct.
The fact that Josh Hawley puts himself in a box with left of center senators, etc. I don't know. It just it is obvious the man's running for president, and that's why he's making the decisions he's making.
Perhaps he would be an interesting presidential candidate.
Would he? And quickly, I know we got a break. Would he be a return to more traditional Republicanism, or is he too populist for that?
Yeah, he wouldn't be. He wouldn't look like anything we would consider a late 20th century conservative.
Hancock and Kelly with us on this Friday until the 10 o'clock hour. It's Chris and Amy. We're glad you're with us today on KMOX.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly, Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on Friday morning. It is January 9th. We are well into 2026. Still haven't written the date yet. Can't wait. Actually, I don't do a whole lot of writing.
I've written it so many times. Yeah. I've had a couple of doctor's appointments.
Oh, yeah.
And there's 35, you know, forms to fill out.
That's right.
I'm a pro at writing 2026.
Nice.
Well, we were talking about Josh Hawley and his recent vote and it upsetting the president. And I wanted to ask you guys about this. We were talking about constitutional powers and global powers. And yesterday in the Oval Office, there was the president did an interview with something like four or five reporters asking him questions. The New York Times was there, and somebody asked a question of him about his global powers. And is there a check on your global powers? And his response was, my own morality, my own mind. It's the only thing that can stop me. Okay. And I know there are a lot of people who are going to love that. They're like, yep, that's what I want. I voted for this guy. He should do whatever he wants and get whatever he wants. Have we sort of lost the idea as a country that people in power, whether it's the president or people in Congress or the judicial branch, there should be a check and balance, right? Yeah. Have we lost that? Are we done with that now?
Well, I think for a lot of people are not displeased with the direction that things are going now. And the direction that things are going now is for a very strong executive branch, a acquiescing legislative branch, if they do anything, they acquiesce. And the judicial branch, you know, as a check on anything, is a very time-lagged circumstance. You know, it's going to take a long time for the courts to kind of catch up to just the nature of our legal system. So, you know, and this isn't new or particularly unique to Donald Trump. You've seen an expansionist presidency going back now, you know, decades, at least a couple of decades, whether you see the explosion of executive orders, and now you're seeing governors doing executive orders all over the country. You know, the conservative position on this stuff used to be that government needs to be restricted and limited and scaled back and less intrusive. And, you know, what we're doing now is we've got an executive branch, whether it be in domestic policy, see what's going on with the immigration stuff, the use of the military, the National Guard. I think we bombed seven countries now since Donald Trump's been president. I mean, this is a very expansionist executive branch, probably the most we've ever seen in the history of the country. Yeah, with the exception of Lincoln during the Civil War.
And we definitely had a movement for the last three decades or so towards this imperial presidency, which where we keep giving more and more power to the executive. Having said that, there are checks that exist. We just have people who are absent in their job doing it. I mean, when you have Lindsey Graham sitting there nodding his head the other day when the president says, well, I may invade Cuba and I may invade Colombia, our allies. I mean, these are the people who would normally put those checks on. Remember how exercised Lindsey Graham and those folks got about Bill Clinton lying under oath? And it wasn't invade, you know, that's gone. There is nobody checking that stuff anymore. And you have a Republican Party that's empowering this man to be able to do it. I think that there's a way to rein some of it back in, and I hope it's going to happen here in November.
How does this not offend the average person's sensibilities when it comes to politics? Because if you see that, we've all grown up and been taught in school since we were young that the president is not an emperor, that the president has his powers, Congress has its powers, and, you know, there isn't one that's supposed to be more powerful than the other. And when you see something like this, a president say, my own morality, my own mind, that's the only thing that can stop me. Why doesn't every average person go, whoa, hold on a second. I may have voted for you, but no, that's not how we do things in this country.
I think for a whole lot of people, in this country find Donald Trump extremely entertaining. And I think it's really that simple.
Well, he is.
And he's extremely entertaining, and there's a belief that he tells it like it is.
He has no shame.
That, you know,
there's nothing you can say about him.
You get unvarnished from Donald Trump. And most, there's not a lot of people in this country that are students of history or students of our government. They just aren't. And so, and the entertainment aspect of what Donald Trump is, I think, has been underappreciated by a lot of folks that are pundits like us.
But I think also that is the foundation of his success. He is a reality show host,
right.
And that matters. Because why did reality shows take off in our country? Well, because they appeal to the basest, lowest instincts of human nature. Mm-hmm. It's scandal, it's gross, it's vulgar, and people love it, and they eat it up. So then you have that mentality in the presidential office. And I do think we have... Americans have had it pretty good for a while, so we have the luxury to be relatively unserious as people. And I think we are impatient. We have no self-control. I think we're impulsive. And that's what the president is. I also think we're lazy, and we want what we want when we want it now. And that's what the president is. But he's lazy. He has no regard for detail. He wants what he wants. When he wants it, he'll bulldoze any processes because processes are slow. They put a burden of persuasion on the person who's trying to get something done. And we have forgotten how to disagree with one another because we want unity and agreement. Our country was not built for unity and agreement. It was built for disagreement, but we don't know how to disagree anymore. So when you have a man who pretty much represents how we all want to act as if we're on a reality show, I really think that's his appeal. And I do think the damage he's doing is lasting because historically, I feel like conservatives tended to be more concerned about process, the whole Chesterton's fence. Progressives really wanted more results. But now...
I think that was Chesterton's fence and deck.
But they're outstanding in their field. But do you know, like, that's the thing. And now Republicans don't care about process anymore. They're just bulldozing all of these protections against aggressive agendas. And let me tell you, when AOC becomes president, guess what she'll have? A smooth landscape to go forward with whatever she wants to do.
And part of me, as someone who would like to see us get back to normal and, you know, elect the Democrats to get in there and to be able to try to stabilize this stuff, there is part of me that wants them to do the exact same thing to the Republicans that we've been witnessing. And that is just complete disregard, steamroll everything, don't pay attention to the law. And that's where if the biggest concern I have in terms of unraveling it is that common sense people on the other side are going to find themselves playing the same game that the Republicans are playing, which is, you know, just close my eyes and say, good, we're giving it to the man, even though it's toxic for our democracy.
This text message, and you are welcome to text in to us, this says, because most people see politics as a soap opera, y'all who talk for a living only care about the soap opera and its actors. That's nonsense, because I think pretty much every one of us in this room does not like this particular soap opera. I mean, I like soap operas when it comes to sports, because sports doesn't matter. It's not life and death.
When
it comes to politics, it does, because it does affect people's livelihoods.
But it has, right, I don't know why he's lumping
That's a lazy text.
But
we appreciate
I will say,
the text, but it's a lazy thought.
He's right about the politics as entertainment industrial complex. Politicians have leaned into it. I mean, whether it's a White House press secretaries or former candidates or current politicians, everyone's vying for their own show on Fox or MSNBC. It's so performative.
Did you guys, not to change the subject, well, I guess
you
I am
change the subject.
Did you see the thing the other day that there was, now you can bet on anything now.
Oh, Polymarket.
Yes. And there was a thing that the White House press conference would last 65 minutes.
You guys are just blowing up our entire show. Do you know that?
Oh, you were talking about this? Well, so Caroline Levitt's doing a news conference, and she's 64 and a half minutes in, and abruptly stops and walks out of the room. And there's all the speculation was, you know, was the fix in? Was somebody playing the odds on, you know, because I think it was like 98% that it was going to go over 65 minutes at that point. And she abruptly ends the news conference and walks out the briefing door and raised a lot of eyebrows.
Well, fortunately, we have Donald Trump's morality to keep an eye on it because he told us that he would make sure these people.
There are a lot of ex-wives and porn stars who are thinking, well, that ain't good.
Maybe the length of a press briefing should not be bettable. But it's not really betting. It's that prediction market.
Right.
Poly market is a completely separate thing. And poly market, not a big fan.
I will say this.
That guy's kind of a weirdo.
It was, Michael, you and I both watched it. Was it 60 Minutes?
Yes.
They did like their little 9-10 minute segment on poly market. Look it up and watch it because like Ron said, there's a real ick factor and the guy is creepy and all these tech bros and what they're creating.
There's no oversight on it.
There's no oversight. I'm telling you, it was eye-opening to me and somewhat terrifying. And even if you're like, oh, it's like 60 minutes, just watch it. It's not political. It's just about Polymarket, and it's very, very interesting.
It also was amazing how predictive it was and how accurate it was. It was predicting whether it be presidential races or even silly things by, like, what color are they going to paint this new building. It was right almost all the time.
And a guy, he did bet he made $100,000. Because he bet that Trump would pick J.D. Vance as his vice president. And his primary reasoning that kind of went with Polymarket, because Polymarket looks at the odds differently than Vegas. But he said Trump really likes one syllables, right? He's a showman. He's a commercial guy.
Trump Vance. Yeah.
He really liked one syllables versus a vice presidential candidate who would have multiple syllables. And Vance sounded so close to Pence that he just liked it. He goes, I bet so much money, made $100,000 because Trump went with Vance.
Yep. It is good. 60 Minutes, I still like it, even in the midst of all this turmoil that's going on. I encourage you to watch that Polymarket segment. Interesting, when I was on my feed yesterday, I got a notification that said, good news, so-and-so is now the official Polymarket of the New York Rangers. And I was like, well, how can there be Polymarket with the New York Rangers? You can't bet on them, etc. It just allows them to drop it into the into their broadcasts, etc. But because Polymarket is essentially illegal as it relates to sports is kind of what they were saying. But now you've got sports teams that are now embracing it.
Yeah, I don't know much about Polymarket. I mean, as far as that goes, but I do know that it's just not regulated, and you can bet on stuff that you bet on just about everything.
Yeah,
with Polymarket.
And I will say, like I said, we are going to talk to someone because there were bets made about on Polymarket about the invasion or the capture of Maduro in Venezuela, and they're kind of in hot water because they're saying, well, that doesn't really count as an invasion and so forth, but. One person in particular made an absolute, you know, haul on Polymarket. So we want to talk to someone about that. But if you have no idea what we're talking about with Polymarket, I really do recommend watching that 60-minute segment. That's your homework before we talk to this guest. It is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. And it's
so accurate.
It's so accurate and icky.
Yeah. We will present to you, gentlemen, our question of the week. And I'd like to get your particular thoughts on it. We have results of the question of the week, a Twitter poll that we do at Chris Amy KMOX, and we will bring that to you when we come back on 104.1 FM KMOX. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. We've got Hancock and Kelly with us for just a few more minutes. You know, every week, gentlemen, this show has a question of the week we like to give to the listeners.
All right.
We want them to vote.
Okay.
And so because the playoffs begin tomorrow in the NFL, we thought an appropriate question is this. And also given it has been just over 10 years since the Rams have been the St. Louis Rams, since they played a game. Yep. January 3rd, 2016 was the last time the St. Louis Rams played a football game. So with them in the playoffs against the Panthers, their game is tomorrow. Here's the question of the week. Are you still hate watching the Los Angeles Rams? Do you watch them and root for them to lose? And there are three options.
All right.
Yes, I hate the Rams. Mm. I am indifferent about it. Or I am still a Rams fan. Mm. So before we give you the results, your thoughts?
I'm indifferent. I wish we had a team. It was fun while it lasted. You know, I was a big St. Louis Cardinal fan back in the day.
Yeah.
They had a run there in the 70s where they were one of the most exciting teams in football.
Cardiac Cards.
Yeah. Yeah, and Don Coryell, who was really, in some respects, the prototypical modern head football coach. You know, he really brought that kind of pass attack mindset to the Cardinals, and then went to San Diego with Dan Fouts and had a really fine offense there.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess Michael's take.
Right. Yeah,
you were indifferent when they were here.
No, so you're still indifferent. I win, but I'm indifferent. I would caveat and say I'm indifferent, but I'm hateful of Stan Kroenke.
There you go.
And so that's where I would be. Now, if I see a game and the Rams are on, I don't root for them necessarily.
Right.
But
root against them, you mean, or root
for
them?
Yeah, I don't think I root, period. Okay. You know, there's a couple of players I like to watch on there. They used to have that defenseman, Aaron Donald.
Awesome.
I enjoyed watching him, and I like this Puka Nacua. But I'm indifferent, and I hate Stan Kroenke.
Yeah.
I'm indifferent, but I will say, I could be wrong. It could be nostalgia. Man, do I like their unis.
They're nice.
I think they're real sharp. I like the yellow and blue. I think they're sharp.
Pajeski, are you indifferent? Or do you, what's your deal?
I'm indifferent.
You're indifferent. So here's what's interesting. There are five people in this room, all of it. So it's 100% in this room.
Right.
The results of the poll are 57%. Still hate the Rams and hate watch them.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
34% are indifferent, and 9% are still Rams fans somehow. I don't know how. I don't know how you keep being a Rams fan after they did that.
I don't know if this is people just picking stuff up at thrift shops or something, but when I was down in Florida for New Year's, I saw a couple of St. Louis Rams hats on people, and I'm like, I can't believe that stuff even is still out there.
See, I'm jealous. A friend of mine has a retro St. Louis Rams, like Super Bowl knit hat. She'll always wear it during the winter. I think it's cool. I love it. I'd still wear that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a St.
Okay,
Louis.
Okay, I do have a different take when it comes to like the championship stuff, because that's always going to be St. Louis's championship. It happened here.
Yeah, right.
So wearing a, you know, St. Louis Rams 99 season championship t-shirt or hat or whatever, that's cool. I'm totally
t-shirt's
okay with
probably
that.
Got some holes in it,
but yeah, but that still belongs to St. Louis.
Ron, were you one of the fans that had those goofy pants that looked like tiger stripes?
Zubas.
Did you have?
I got
those
a pair now.
Do you really?
I got a pair now. They're red, black. They're red, black, and white for the Bulls.
Okay, wait. Should we make a thing, a deal that if the Bears win tomorrow, you have to wear your Zubas to work on Monday?
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm going to get some, I need to get some Bears Zubas.
Can you get them by Monday? Can you Amazon them?
Let me find out. Let me see what
but
I can do.
Can we get a verbal commitment in the presence of these fine witnesses?
Yeah, I'll wear Zubas
Maybe
on.
Maybe it could be next Friday that he could wear it if they win.
How about all week?
Oh. We can wear the same pair of Zubas
you get
all
it by,
week?
By two. You
what
alternate.
The heck is a Zuba?
You remember the pants? They looked like little tiger stripes that they would wear, and yeah.
Okay, how about this?
If John doesn't know anything that happened after 1986.
If the Bears win, you wear Zubas on Monday. If they lose, you have to wear them all week.
If they do what?
If they win, you wear them Monday. If they lose, you wear them all week. Okay.
All right, whatever you want me to do, I'm in.
Let's go.
I've never seen a Zuba before.
I just showed you a Zuba.
I know, that's my first Zuba.
Now, they're good-looking pants, aren't they?
Yeah, not bad.
I can see John. You should snag yourself a pair. Georgiana will be able Zubas. To keep her eye.
Boys, have a great weekend. We love you.
Can't wait.
Bye now.
That's John Hancock and Michael Kelly. The Chris and Amy Show continues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.